whether it's just
our heavenly citizenship being primary or being primary in our lives. Really, this is the answer or the purpose statement of verses 17 through 19, verses 20 through chapter 3, and then verse 1 of chapter 4 is really the purpose or the result or the reason for the command given there in verse 17 of being good examples and following good examples. So let's open with prayer and then we'll get into the text. Lord, we thank you for your message this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this passage that reminds us of our heavenly home and reminds us of the attitude, Lord, that we should have as we look for that home, as we look for your return. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the salvation that you offer freely. We thank you, Lord, for the sanctification that you're doing in our lives practically. We thank you for your scriptures and that we have something together around this morning, something that we can put our trust, our confidence in, Lord, and have no doubt that what you've told us is true, and Lord, that you will give us the strength through the Spirit of Christ to do the things that you've commanded. We thank you for your scriptures. We pray for your help and wisdom this morning. Ask that you give me wisdom and direction and help me to speak your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our heavenly citizenship being primary. We will look at the essence of our citizenship in the first two verses, or in verse 20 and part of verse 21, and then we will look at the effect of our citizenship in chapter 4, verse 1. Verse 20 of Philippians 3, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, another result statement, or another purpose statement of the words just given. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Our heavenly citizenship is primary. Now let's consider the essence of our citizenship. Our future is founded in heaven. In verse 20, it says, for our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation, literally the Greek word being politouma, and I have a reason for pronouncing it because there's an English word in there I want you to try to hear. But that word conversation is literally the idea of a state or a commonwealth, or we can say a citizenship. In fact, if you listen to that word politouma, what do you hear in there in the English language? You hear a root of the word politics. And so the Lord tells us, look, your politics, literally, are founded in heaven. Your politics are based in heaven. Now, I think every individual should be a good citizen. And I think that we should be concerned about our political stand here on earth. Our political stand really is nothing more or less than a derivation of our religious belief system. If we are liberal in our view of politics, we are probably liberal in our view of Christ and the Christian life. If we are more conservative in our view of politics, then more than likely we are more conservative in our view of God. So I do believe that we should, as citizens, do what we can to have biblical goals and priorities, and that we should be good citizens, that we should vote correctly, do our research, that we should do what we can to keep our country on the right track. But understand, at the end of the day, my politics and yours are not rooted here on earth. They are founded in heaven. Man's government, no matter how good it is faulty. Daniel gives us an excellent illustration of really what man's government is. In the example of the statue made of gold and silver, brass, and then iron, and then feet mixed with iron and clay, that ultimately falls and is smashed to pieces by the rock being Jesus Christ cut out without hands. Man's government is destined to failure. It doesn't matter how good it is. Now, we have one of the better governments in the world, I believe, at least for the time being. However, ultimately, that government, even though it is good, better than most, is destined for failure. Another example of human government in the book of Daniel would be the beast. It comes up out of the sea, the four beasts, You have the leopard, and you have the lion, you have the bear, and then you have the beast that is diverse from all the others, and somewhat of a mixture of all of them, and with the teeth of a lion, and the feet of a bear, and how it smashes and crushes and tears flesh and stomps the residue with its feet. That is an excellent example of man's government. If not checked, it is oppressive, it is destructive, it is self-centered, it is dictatorial, and ultimately, no matter how good it starts, there has not been a man's government on earth that has not failed, because man is sinful. And so understand that no matter how good you may have it in a certain country, your politics have to be rooted in heaven and founded in Jesus Christ, the ultimate victor, or otherwise you will be seriously disappointed and disillusioned. And your focus will be wrong. My focus will be wrong. I will tend to be more bitter, angry. I will tend to be less peaceful because my trust is not in the politics of heaven, but in the politics of earth. And when that happens, and this earth disappoints me, and my earthly politics disappoint me, I will tend to be less peaceful inwardly. And of course, that will show up in my life. So we are reminded right off the bat, why should we be good examples? Why should we follow good examples? Because we have to remember that our politics are wrapped up, or should be wrapped up, in Jesus Christ. Secondly, as we consider our future being founded in heaven, understand that we look with eager expectation for Jesus' return. It says, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That word look is actually from a root that means to take or to receive. And there is a preposition added onto the front of it that makes it more intensive and slightly changes the meaning. And it's the idea of looking to something with an expectation to receive. Looking to something with eager expectation, not just looking at it for the sake of looking at it, but expecting to receive something from it. So you and I, as citizens of heaven, with our politics wrapped up in Jesus Christ, are looking to receive from him ultimately what we are promised in verse 20, the changing of our vile bodies, a home forever with him in heaven, being freed from sinful flesh, being set free ultimately to serve him and worship him forever, and a sinless body made like unto his glorious body. This word is akin to a word that we see in Hebrews chapter 11. Turn there with me if you would. As we consider Abraham, who understood that his politics were not wrapped up in the earth, but wrapped up in the things of heaven. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked. Now that is akin to the word that we see here in Philippians, where we look for the Savior. And it's the idea here, though the word is slightly different, it's the same root, and it has the idea to expect, to look forward to something, to literally reach out to something and have the idea of taking it and receiving it and looking forward to it, longing for it. And so Abraham looked, he longed for, he looked forward to a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So Abraham's politics were wrapped up in the theocracy of the sinless Son of God. And that's really where my politics need to be, and yours. Otherwise, we will not be looking to good examples like we should, nor will we be practicing to be good examples like we should. Let's stay there in Hebrews chapter 11 and consider the saints of old who shared this same idea, this same focus that Abraham shared. In verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11, these all died in faith, meaning the saints of old, and many of them the intertestamental saints between the Old and New Testament, the saints that suffered greatly under Greco-Syrian domination. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they had had a worldly focus, they would have wanted to go back to those things. But now they desire, they long for, they reach out to, literally. And the idea is to reach out for oneself. They desire a better country, that is, in heavenly, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so is my desire and my longing for a heavenly country and heavenly politics, or am I very focused and very caught up in the here and now and in the political system of this world? And I'll tell you what, if you and I are wrapped up in the political system of this world, our peace is going to go right out the window. Because no matter how good things are, the dark days are many, and the government will always, always, no matter what country, no matter what era, no matter how good or bad it is, it will always fail you. Because we all are sinful. But we, as children of God, have politics which are wrapped up in Jesus Christ. This is the essence of our citizenship. Our politics wrapped up in a sinless Savior, wrapped up in heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of God, from whence we look with eager expectation, and ultimately this is speaking of the rapture. We look for at any point in time, the Savior isn't coming soon, he's coming suddenly. I was reminded of that in a study this past week as I listened to a godly man preach. He reminded us, we often say soon, well, in reality, Jesus has been coming soon ever since his ascension. And the Bible doesn't emphasize his soon coming, but his sudden coming. And Jesus is going to come suddenly at any point in time. And that's what we look for with eager expectation to receive from him that which he has promised. So let's consider not only our future being founded in heaven, but also our bodies will be fashioned after Jesus Christ. He says, who shall change our vile body or transform it into something totally different. Same word in Corinthians where it tells us that Satan is also transformed into an angel of light for the case of deception. Well, this is a positive context where you and I will be transformed from a vile or a humbled by sin body, a vile body that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Folks, the sinful wretch will be gone, and only the sanctified worshiper will remain. And that's an encouraging thought. Paul prophesied of this in Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, when he cried out and said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he gives us the answer, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. John also prophesied of these same things in 1 John 3, verse 2, when he said, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. In this earth, in this body, we're limited. Our wisdom is limited. Our sight is limited. We can't totally grasp how our bodies will be changed or what they will be changed into. And Paul talked a little bit about this in 1 Corinthians 15 when he talked about different kinds of flesh. We don't know exactly how it's going to happen. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. Our vile body is going to be fashioned into his glorious body. You say, how will this happen? I don't exactly know. But what is the effect that this should have on my living now? Well, the answer to that is given in 1 John 3:3, just one verse down, where John says, And every man that hath this hope in him is purifying himself. In our King James translation, it would say purifieth. And that is a good old-fashioned way of presenting an ongoing action. And so if I have this hope in myself, I am constantly purifying myself. Not that I'm doing anything in and of myself, but I'm allowing the Spirit of God to purify me and to do his work through me every day, repenting of sin, admitting when I'm wrong, getting right with God and others, letting the Lord purge old habits and sins and wrong motives and fears. Every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, Jesus Christ, is pure. And that is the effect, ultimately, that my hope of being a heavenly citizenship should have upon my life now. Our bodies will be fashioned after Christ. The all-powerful Savior is the one who will accomplish this work. It says here, according to the working, or literally the operative power, that energy, the English word energy is derived from this word, the operative power whereby or by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Folks, the one who holds the earth's title deed can do anything. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I think it's good for me and for you to be reminded this morning of how the Lord's going to change this vile body, to be reminded of his authority as we consider that you and I are citizens of heaven and that our politics are wrapped up in Jesus Christ. You want to joy in politics? Well, come to Revelation chapter 5 and you will find a passage of politics that you can really put your faith in. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne, the great throne, the throne of the Ancient of Days described by Daniel in Daniel 7. This is the Father, the one to whom no man can approach apart from the Son. Written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. This is not a book like you and I would think of. This is a scroll. And it is written on, rolled up, and sealed. Written on, rolled up, and sealed. Written on, rolled up, and sealed. So forth and so on until seven seals are accomplished. And as one seal is broken, a certain part of that scroll is read. And then the next seal is broken, and a little more is read, and so forth and so on. And so there's this book or this scroll sealed with seven seals. It's written with all kinds of warning and lamentation and woe. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in earth nor in heaven, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." No man, no angelic creature, no supernatural power has the right to the title deed of the universe. No one was found worthy. No one worthy enough to pronounce all the judgments that mankind has deserved. No one worthy enough to decide how it will all end. No one worthy enough to actually pronounce the woes and the judgments and the words that would bring about Satan's demise and the ultimate kingdom of Jesus Christ. No one worthy enough to determine the eternal state and the new Jerusalem that would be built, which comes down from God out of heaven. No one worthy enough. And so John, in the face of his desire to see evil vanquished and truth vindicated and reign supreme, he weeps. The angel says, "You don't have to weep." And we are presented with a picture of Jesus Christ. He's a lion and a lamb. The lion who conquers because of the lamb that made the sacrifice. Verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God," all a picture of God's perfection, all a picture of his completeness. The number seven, I believe that's what that's referring to. "The seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." So here's my king, my victor, the one in whom my politics should be wrapped up in. He walks up to the Father, the one to whom no man can approach because he alone is worthy, and in him I can approach the Father. He walks up to the Father and he takes the title deed of whom, no one else was worthy to take, and he then proves that he alone is the holder of the universe. "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials or bowls full of odors, which are the prayers of saints, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The operative power of God. How will our bodies be changed? These vile bodies, that they may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I don't know, but it's according to the working whereby, folks, he has already subdued all things unto himself. We simply await the consummation of that reality. The victory has already been won. And that is the essence of my citizenship and the essence of yours. My heavenly citizenship has to be primary. Otherwise, I will not be much use to myself or to anyone else. I won't be much use to the Lord, because my focus will be wrong, my peace will be gone, my desires will be skewed, my motives will be out of whack. But when I keep my heavenly citizenship wrapped up in Jesus Christ, keep my politics founded in Him, then I will be at peace. So our heavenly citizenship is primary, the essence of our citizenship we've seen. Now let's look at the effect of our citizenship. In chapter 4, verse 1 of Philippians, he says, Therefore, or because of this. Now, as I read this verse to you, I want you to pick out as many words as you can that have to do with love or being loved or being valued. Okay? Obviously, I've already counted how many are here, and I just want to see how many you come up with. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. How many did you come up with? I'm going to look over here at my wife. She's counting four. Maybe some came up with three. Maybe some came up with others. It might be a little bit of a trick question. There's actually six here. And it's not just, let's pick them out. Brethren, that is a term of affection. If I call you a brother in Christ, that's a term of affection. It has the idea of family. Someone that should be valued. Dearly beloved, that's actually one Greek word, so we'll count that as one. It is akin to a Greek verb agape, which is translated charity, love. It's the idea of a love that surpasses a return. It's not reciprocal necessarily. It is a love that is the kind of love that God shows, giving without expecting to receive. So there's two. Longed for, desired. That's another. Joy, crown. Paul's calling these people his crown, because in them, in their conversion, in their growth, there are certain Christian rewards to be gained. Not that he's using them, but it's a joy to him to have not only these crowns, but these people upon which God's love has been bestowed, and then they can go on and make other disciples and share the gifts of Christ with others. And then lastly, dearly beloved. And so if I did my math right there, there should be six. And so here's six terms. And the reason I bring this out is, listen, we are assured of Christ's love. In this one verse, we are assured of Christ's love. He has made us accepted in the beloved. Another thing we'll consider about this verse as we look at the effect of our citizenship is we are able to stand in Christ's strength. You say, what do you mean? Well, God doesn't give you and me commandments that we cannot keep. Now, I understand that there are commandments in the Bible the Lord gave, trying to open people's eyes. You know, when the people at Mount Sinai said to the Lord concerning his law, all that he hath said we will do, and then turned right around in chapter 32 and worshipped false gods, proving that that's not true, and that no man can keep God's law. I understand that there are passages like that. But, you know, as a rule, the Lord doesn't give you and me commandments that we can't keep, certainly not in the New Testament here, when we're looking at things that are commanded in the Christian life. If God has given me a commandment, then by the grace of Jesus Christ, I am able to do it if I choose to do it in His strength and in His grace. Now, there are some commandments I just don't want to keep because I really just don't want to submit to the reality of that commandment. There are some commandments you and I don't want to keep because we're just too rebellious. We don't like the idea of keeping them, even though we know God's grace could help us if we chose to ask for it. That's our own sinful, wicked pride getting in the way. And so we have no right to say, well, I can't do that. Yes, you can if you choose to let Jesus enable you. And so if we choose to let Christ enable us, we can stand fast, but it's only in the Lord. And we won't do that if we don't keep our eyes on our heavenly citizenship. We won't be good examples if we don't remember that our politics are wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And we won't finish our course faithfully, as Paul was able to say that he did in 2 Timothy, if our politics are not wrapped up in the Lord. And if our focus is not wrapped up in our heavenly citizenship. So with the effect of our citizenship, we are able to stand in Christ's strength. We are assured of Christ's love. And let's close with these verses in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 7. We'll actually back up to verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. And by the way, that is an opening statement of deity, reflecting back upon God's statement to Moses in Exodus 3:14 when he said, I am that I am, the self-existent one, the one which always was, the one which is, the one which always will be. And from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, a beautiful picture of the deity, the Trinity, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. All the Christ haters, all the bad politics, all of that is going to see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. As we read on in Revelation, we find out that our Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep, who is going to rule the earth with a rod. And literally the idea there of rule is to shepherd. He's going to break the things that need to be broken. He's going to heal the things that need to be healed. He's going to establish a firm, uncompromising, but tender and compassionate and sinless rule. That's where my politics need to be. And Paul reminds me of this reality when he says, for our conversation is in heaven. So with promises such as these, let's continue to follow and to be good examples. We love you. It's been good to be able to share the Word of God with you this morning, and we hope to be able to join you now in live stream. God bless you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for this time in your Word, and we pray that you would be with Pastor now as he preaches your Scriptures, and that you would help us to honor you in what we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.